Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm taking you now to a small but fertile block of land on the outskirts of New Plymouth to meet a family who've discovered a love for growing food. Jane and Steve started off with the aim of being self-sufficient, but thanks to COVID and their daughter, Morgan, being made redundant from her job in the tech industry, their farmlet has morphed into a budding commercial market garden with Morgan at the helm.
Hi, Steve. Hello. You've got the zero emissions vehicle there.
Two zero emissions vehicles.
Have you just done some deliveries?
No, I've just been out walking the dogs.
Yeah, no. This look.
Perfect dog kennel.
Oh, yes.
And delivery vehicle.
Oh. That's Jane Allen and Steve Kane. They just pulled up outside their home as I arrived.
And Eden.
Yes. Yeah, Hi, Eden. Eden. Yep.
Oh,
Mitch.
That's lovely.
Awesome. Yeah. So it's a team.
Well, it's oh. No. Well. It is a team.
It is, but
yeah.
She's the driver.
Morgan will tell you all about it. Because we've been here for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Morgan and Aidan, well, they weren't going to be living with us. This was our place, and really for self-sufficiency. So we developed it all for that. And then Morgan will tell you, during COVID, they came and lived here and started to get into the garden. And Morgan started her own project.
And I've come to find out more about that project and how their daughter Morgan and her husband, Aidan Mitchell, came to be on this 1.6-hectare lifestyle block in Brixton on the northern Taranaki coast. As her mum said, it's Morgan driving the venture called Clarty Produce. She's gone from one startup to another, from the world of tech to the world of growing food.
Was yeah during COVID I fell in love with the garden and at that time we were traveling in Mexico, and then we had to come home because of COVID, and then we moved back in here, and then it was autumn, which is, you know, a really busy time in the garden, so we got right into it, and it was lockdown and we were unemployed so we were just doing full-time gardening, and then we moved to Wellington and I went back to my tech job.
Morgan ended up losing that job, but she was ready for a change.
Getting made redundant really pushed me to start the market garden. I'd been thinking about it since we moved back, and I did an organic horticulture course at land-based training.
Late 2022, you finished that up?
Yeah.
And then you started really going into the garden full-time, putting things into practice, expanding, and then...
Yeah, the redundancy was really the
push. And that was the kicker, wasn't it? That was
to be like, okay, you're going to do this as a business now.
Yeah, you've been talking about it, and that was kind of the nudge you needed, wasn't it?
And Aidan, are you keen on the horticulture side of things as well? You have a full-time job, don't you?
Yes, yeah, I do have a full-time job.
This.
If you had asked me sort of 8-9 years ago, this is what I'd be sort of easing into, I would have told you you're being crazy, but I love it. It's just the lifestyle, the connection with nature, the seasons.
Mm.
I think it's really healthy for physical and mental health.
And the aim is for you to get into this full-time as well?
I think long-term that is the goal, is that we can be sustainable here doing what we love, selling fruit and veg to friends and family and sustaining an income and building a community around that.
At the moment you're the cash cow though?
Yes, at the moment I'm the cash cow. So work from home Wednesdays, it's quite nice to feel a little bit more in touch with everything, and I'm the sort of the chief harvester, so after work I'll come home and look at the courgettes and the tomatoes and all the things that need daily harvests.
And I'm still doing 10 hours a week in the tech industry.
A quarter of the block is being grazed by Dexter cattle. On the rest, there are 100 young avocado trees and beds of vegetables, fruit trees, compost bins and a worm farm, a patch of experimental blueberries and the odd, more unusual plant.
It's got beautiful soil. They call it the Golden Triangle. It's all along the coast, but and then up the top near the mountain, off soil.
And we can see the mountain.
Yeah,
just
we can
up.
See the.
It's a beautiful clear day today.
This is one of my favourite spots for watching the mountain and the sunset here with the mountain as well. And we're close to the sea as well, so we've got a really our own little kind of tropical climate here with the sea and then the mountain, and so we can grow a lot of stuff that you can't grow closer to the mountain or a lot of
quite immune to the frost
as well. Yeah, we don't
get
many frosts.
So we're a bit luckier. Our seasons can be slightly longer than some other places. And it allows, that's why we have 100 avocado trees. It's a little bit more of a good spot for those types of fruit and veg.
Now we're just going into the main growing area that we converted about 4 months ago. So it's still there and new, this area.
Half the paddock is in avocado trees and they're almost ready to start producing.
They're actually more dwarf avocado trees, so we've planted them closer together. We'll keep them a certain height and we'll prune them a lot so that you don't need to use ladders, things to extend to pick. It'll be
no
a lot easier.
Pickers.
No cherry pickers. And so eventually they'll actually kind of merge into it. It'll be like an avocado hedge all around.
The name Clarty Produce is a nod to Morgan's Scottish heritage. Clarty means dirty, especially in the sense of getting covered in mud. They're in their third season, getting their hands in the soil. Their first vegetables went in last spring, and the idea is to use organic principles.
So we've grown organically on the property since they bought the property.
8 years ago?
Yeah.
But you're not certified?
No. So we can't say we're organic when we sell or anything.
But you're not using any sprays?
No. And we make all our own compost and fertiliser and everything as well. So we try not to buy in anything. We've got like a bit of a closed loop system.
So I think a really important thing to note as well is this is a lot of the first time this paddock's been used to grow vegetables. So that's kind of probably given us maybe a false sense of security of how good the soil is because it hasn't been grown in before. So it's all the nutrients are there. That's why our courgettes did amazingly well. I've never seen courgette plants that big in my life. If I miss a day of harvest, they're marrows. So it'll be good to kind of do a lot of crop rotation, keep that soil health going as we expand into the field next door, which we're solarising at the moment.
And solarising, you've put down some black plastic just to kill off all those things that you don't want.
Yes, exactly.
And keep the good stuff.
So ideally we wouldn't want to have plastic, but we've just found that in terms of the heat and just covering it and as we grow
better
our...
Better than spraying for us.
Yeah, way better than spraying. As we grow things... we kind of need to have some quick fixes.
Where do you get your knowledge from? Are you talking to people or are you online?
A lot of different places. I like to read. I read a lot. I get it from people I talk to, like my mum, other people at the farmer's market, everyone I did the horticulture course with, and the teachers from the horticulture course as well. I like YouTube videos, TikTok, so basically any podcast. I consume any kind of media and just get it from everywhere.
It's been a year of experimentation, growing kumara a little later than most and trialling different types of blueberries.
So we even find that we have other little microclimates within the microclimate, so growing... on the other side of the property that's really sheltered where you can grow bananas. So our goal is diversity. So we've got a few things in for winter already. We've got a lot of different brassicas. We've got Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, broccoli and all different types of those within there as well. So you'll see we've got broccoli here and this is cabbages in here. We've got our coriander patch here, which was all our seed-saved coriander from spring and summer. So we let it go to seed and then collected all the seeds and then I just threw it down, really, and here we go. and I just this morning I sowed a bunch of seeds as well for kale and silver beet. We've got leeks and celery going too.
And so you'll be supplying the farmer's market with these winter veg throughout the winter?
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
You'll have enough to do that?
Yes, we should do. Maybe not every single week. The beauty of the farmer's market is you can kind of take what you have when you have it. And that's why the farmer's market's like a good outlet for when you start growing.
So you don't have to commit to going once a week?
No, you don't have to commit, which is amazing. I think that's a really good thing they do to make it more accessible to everyone and kind of encourage people to start growing.
Yeah, especially for the smaller growers as we don't have a lot of produce and we're trying to expand that every second week's kind of more appropriate for us. Mm-hmm. And Morgs was doing veggie boxes for a little while as well, so we took a break from the farmer's market and we had 10 10 subscriptions to our veggie box that we delivered every Tuesday in our e-van.
I called that the summer produce box, and now summer's kind of come to an end. We're pulling out all the summer veg, planting in the autumn one. I hope to be able to offer a year-round veggie box once we've got more space to be able to supply that many people with that many different vegetables every single week.
Yes, and I imagine that is the trick, isn't it? To know what's coming up, that you can actually supply that amount of food.
Yeah, because it's about 5 to 7 different vegetables every week. We've always said self-sufficiency first and then sell the excess, and that's been really great, especially now with the price of food. There's a melon there that needs harvested in the middle.
Oh, yep.
That one might be a bit past it.
For the chickens. That's the thing. Nothing ever goes to waste on the farm, because we either eat it ourselves or sell it if it's up to standard, or we'll feed the cows or the chickens. So we never feel bad.
Well.
Never feel bad about waste. It's always going back to the earth.
Oh, your chicken friend's following us. These crates here are used for the harvest, or are they composting bins?
This is the compost setup. Almost went past the compost. So we do hot compost. We've actually got about 4 different types of compost that we do. I have a worm farm that I use the worm wee when I'm planting to dip it in and give it like a boost before it goes into the ground when I'm transplanting, sorry. And also use the vermicast for a really rich fertiliser. And then we do hot compost, which is these bins here. That's a bit stinky.
It's beautiful.
Very alive.
Very alive.
And then we have our chicken compost as well. So we just chuck all the weeds into the chicken coop and the chickens turn it all over constantly. And then eventually that becomes nice soil as well. So that's kind of most of our composting methods. This is a loofah plant.
What's a loofah plant?
So it's this is actually an experiment. It's our first time growing it, but this is one plant and it's just gone crazy. So these can become like your cleaning scrubbing brushes. You chop them into bits. You can use it in the shower, or you can use it for cleaning dishes, that kind of thing.
The actual fruit that comes off it?
Yeah, so you dry it out, and the it's like a wiry kind of material.
It looks like a huge, big cucumber.
Yes. It's the same family as cucumber.
And are you going to be producing those loofahs?
Maybe. We'll see how we go first.
Another string to your bow.
Another experiment that we have ongoing.
We like to try new things.
Anything we can do to cut out buying at the moment we use the coconut fibres to maybe scrub dishes and things, but if we can use a loofah or have a loofah in the shower, then...
And then sell them at the farmer's market too as a bonus, so...
Bit of a novelty. The chicken seems to like it as well.
Still following us around. And there's also ashwagandha in here, so we were experimenting with ashwagandha as well, growing that, which is another one of those plants that like that warm, tropical kind of weather, so we've got a good climate for ashwagandha.
And is that something you eat?
It's a medicinal herb. It's meant to be really good for like the nervous system and sleep, and so you can grind the roots or you can do the leaves in tea. So there's lots of that, And we're also growing the plants and selling the plants because you can't really get them anywhere.
We've reached the roadside.
Yeah.
And this is your little roadside stall.
Yes, so it's currently shut.
Yeah, we had it open for, I think it was about 5 months with no issues at all. And then, we had the money box stolen and then just a few little bits and pieces. And we thought, it's kind of the end of the season now anyway. We'll just close it and focus on other areas while we're still expanding.
So the distribution of your harvest, this is obviously one of the things you need to get right so that you can continue to keep doing what you're doing. Have you sort of come to any conclusions yet?
I think the boxes are the best business method. Farmers market is best for flexibility, so we'll keep going with the farmers market. And also I love the community vibe of the farmers market and chatting to people, but it is a big couple of days and takes up your whole weekend, so that's kind of the downside there. And I haven't been marketing the website though, but I think if I did want to push sales through the website, I could push a little bit harder with marketing and get it going.
Now, the ultimate aim of this is to be financially self-sustainable as well, I guess, and you coming on full-time, Aidan.
Yep, Yeah, definitely. That'll be our long-term goal. And Morgs and I, we like to spend a lot of time together, and we find that things are less of a chore if we're doing them together. I quite like that feeling. So sometimes when I'm at work, I kind of wish, oh, I wish I was at home helping Morgan plant the potatoes or, you know, something like that. It just is a bit more fulfilling kind of work.
It's the lifestyle that we want.
Don't you miss the city life? You were in a busy job, in a busy role, a busy office, lots of people around, I guess. Now you're here on your own, or when Aidan's not here.
I don't miss it at all. It is quite isolating sometimes working on the garden by yourself. That's the good thing about being on this property as well. There's always people around, like my family, and that's really nice. And then the farmer's market helps with the community feel. That's something I definitely want to work on, is building more of a community around the market gardening and network.
In the past, we've actually hosted some HelpX or workaways. So a couple of weeks ago, we had a really lovely French couple, and so they came in and stayed with us for a week while we fed them, and Morgs got to work with them in the garden every day, you know, doing lots of weeding, lots of tasks that we've had on our to-do list that we never quite got to. But that was quite fun. We would like to do a bit more of that going forward, so we can host them and sort of meet new people, and they can learn things from us and we can learn things from them. Sort of share our lifestyle with other people.
It's lucky you have got this access to land, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, that's the biggest thing. Yeah, we would have had to rent, and then there's always risks with renting for doing something like this, especially you put so much effort into the soil and regenerating the soil and get it to a really good thing, and then they can just be like, your lease is up.
Now, you mentioned before about how COVID had changed your outlook.
Yes, so COVID made me really think about my role in society. I didn't feel like I was really doing a necessary job for the way everything works. I do something more physical with my hands and seeing the outcome and being able to feed people, and something that's necessary for survival a little bit.
A shift in thinking,
yes,
for you.
Absolutely, yeah.
After checking out the beehive and the food forest, multi-layers of strawberry plants, blueberry bushes and bigger fruit trees, we head to the house to taste some of the produce.
What have we got here, Jane?
Well, we've got some blueberry muffins from our freshly picked blueberries, and Morgan's grown this beautiful honeydew melon, so we're going to have a little bit of that with our glass of water. And we've got some of our honey that Steve and I just took off last week from the bees, which is very yummy.
Ooh, looking forward to trying it. Now, I've just been hearing about your desire for self-sufficiency when you came here. Just tell me a little bit about why you came.
Probably all starts why we came to New Zealand. That was always our dream, and I don't think we'd have managed self-sufficiency in Scotland, would we, Steve? So it's taken a long time to get here. And
when did you come from Scotland?
We've been here for 32 years. Still a little bit of an accent.
And what did you think of Morgan's idea to come back and actually make something of this commercially?
Oh, fabulous. So glad that she decided that, because really the block for just Steve and I was too big. She's kind of taken over most of the veggies now, which frees me up to do the avos, the blueberries, bananas, the hive, the chickens, the cows, all the other things.
It's a real team thing now, isn't
it? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's so fabulous now that we can actually sit down to a meal, and we get so much joy, don't we, when we look at the plate and go, our breakfast, our potatoes, our eggs, our avos, everything's we've produced ourselves. You know, a lot of people say to me, that's come a long way from medicine to work, you know, doing self-sufficiency and working in the garden all the time. But for me, it's all about the same thing, and it's all about health. And before, I was an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, and working, you know, in the garden is you're going right back to where health starts, and that's in the soil, growing our food, the food we eat, and that is what, you know, makes us brings us our good health, both mentally and physically. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, second that. And Steve? Your journey to the garden is slightly different, isn't it?
Slightly different, yes. So I've always worked in oil industry, and I've always been interested in growing vegetables, and I've always had a little veggie pot going when I could, you know. So
in fact, just say, because Steve, while I was doing medicine, Steve took a couple of years out from work, and so he was at home with the kids as babies, young ones, and he was the gardener then. He did all our veggies.
But my role here is... tractor driver and
fisherman,
tree cutter downer, and
all the
maintenance tasks. Yeah,
I don't know if Morgan talked to you that we talked about, you know, more intergeneration, going back to intergenerational living rather than families all splitting up and doing their, you know, little thing, and that you know, in the future, if Morgan and Eden have family, it's nice to have us around as the grandparents so close to help with that. And vice versa, Steve and I, we like to get off to Scotland now in our retirement for a couple of months. And we can leave the place because they can just look after the place while we're away. So it really works out, you know, for everyone.
And Morgan was talking about how COVID was a big eye-opener for her in terms of... her goals in life.
Yeah.
What about for you?
Well, for us, it was interesting because the whole point of us becoming self-sufficient was that we could see in the future there were, you know, things are going to happen. Things are going to, and really we were future-proofing ourselves. So solar power, electric van, all our veggies here. So when COVID hit for us, you know, we're set up for it. We didn't need to go to the supermarket. And it was lovely for me because then I actually had Morgan and Eden back here. So I had more family around and we were just out in the garden doing our thing. So, you know, I was just feeling so thankful and thinking, you know, I'm so glad we took this step to future-proof ourselves because we are so fortunate and lucky that we weren't really affected by COVID, but so horrendous to see, you know, how that had an effect, you know, everywhere else and globally.
Jane Allen. You also heard from Steve Kane, their daughter Morgan Kane and Morgan's husband Aidan Mitchell. You can find Morgan and Aidan at the Taranaki Farmers Market at their Clarty Produce Store.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.